If you tell me to go ahead, you don't know what you're asking for. You may regret this. I think you're outnumbered, man. The scripture for today, you notice, is inserted in the worship brochure. We do it there to kind of standardize the text and encourage you as much as possible to follow along as the word is preached. You see, it comes from 1 Corinthians 2, and my focus is largely from verse 1 to verse 5 of this text. The Apostle Paul begins by saying, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, to Corinth, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words of wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Pascal once said, "The last thing we know is what to put first." But that was not the problem for the Apostle Paul. Coming to Corinth, he had made a resolution: "I will preach Christ Jesus and him crucified." For the Apostle Paul, the life, the death, and resurrection of Christ were all settled truths. The Jesus of history is the Christ of faith. And I want to let you know, as I start ministry among you, to work with you for the building of the kingdom of God, I, like this man, seek to preach Christ and him crucified. I say that because it is not fashionable today in some circles to hear preaching on Jesus or on the crucifixion. There's a little story of a country church that had over its door a simple slogan: "We preach Christ crucified." Now, climbing the walls of that church was an ivy. You know the vine? The ivy was climbing the walls of the church. And then, now I don't know if this was a Methodist church, you know, but they got a pastor that came in who did not believe in the crucifixion. And so the vine grew and it covered the word crucified. So when you looked at the sign now, all you would see is what? "We preach Christ." Well, as it is here, another appointment was made. A new preacher came. This might have been a Methodist church. A new preacher came, and he did not believe in Christ. So the vine grew some more, and it covered the word Christ. And so now over the church, all you would see is "We preach." We preach. And often it is like that. We preach. Paul is different. "I came to you, I preach Christ Jesus crucified." So first of all, we want to talk about the essence of Paul's preaching. "I decided I would preach Christ and him crucified." You may ask, why is this important? It's important because Corinth is a place of great public orators who spoke in the refined style of Greek rhetoric. And such a flair for oratory was, let us say, very tempting for the preacher of the gospel. Paul refused to be a lecturer, let us say, of philosophy and logic. He would preach Christ. Let the truth be known that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. He died for our sins. He was buried. The third day he walked out of his grave. Why? God raised him from the dead and made him Lord of all. There is none like he. Certainly, the preacher must find his voice or her voice and preach on other things, and that will happen here from time to time. But brothers and sisters, the essence of every message from the pulpit, everything taught in our classrooms, must somehow come down to this: Christ Jesus crucified. Some time ago, I think it was the New York Times, had a little story about an incident that took place at Squirrel Hill Church. It was in 1998, and Squirrel Hill Church made the news because it fired its pastor. Now, the media wasn't paying attention to the fact that this man was not well treated. The media wasn't paying attention to the fact that this church was really cruel to its pastor. What got the media's attention was that at Squirrel Hill Church, the pastor was paid $250,000 to leave. Now, I am not giving anybody here any ideas, but $250,000 would look very good in any preacher's pocket. Now, why did they want him to leave? They wanted him to leave because they said he was not afraid to talk about sin. And when he talked about sin, it made them feel bad about sin. They said, we come to church every morning for a little pep talk that would make us happy through the week. What would it be here among us? A little pep talk? Or Christ crucified? The servant of God must know that he or she is called, and we must refuse to give people what they want so that we would give them what they need. So with the Lord's help, I'll do my part to make sure that this pulpit and this ministry is Christ-centered. Is that okay with you? It's okay with some of you. I think I have enough. Christ-centered it would be. Why? We have no other message but Christ crucified. We have no other master but the one who died for us. We have no other mission but to seek and save the lost. That's the essence of Paul's preaching. I trust God it will be the essence of my preaching. But secondly, we would ask ourselves, with this as the essence of preaching, what was the experience of Paul's preaching? When people heard this message of the cross, what was the experience? Let us read on some more. For example, verse 3, he said, "And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Somebody did ask me this morning whether I have these butterflies in my stomach. You know, if you knew Corinth, you would be trembling going to Corinth. But you people seem so nice, so no reason to be nervous yet. And he said in verse 4, "My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, did you notice the beautiful, let us say, literary structure here? Not with, but with. My speech, my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, verse 4. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here is this: my preaching to you was not merely words, my preaching came with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Like at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is in the preaching, wonderful things happen. It is the Spirit's presence, hear me friends, that authenticates the preacher's ministry. It is the Spirit's presence that endows the ministry of the church with saving power. The preacher may preach, as I'm doing now. The Spirit must come and demonstrate his power. So I tell you, friends, for as long as I am here, even after I'm gone, you should not accept any preaching that does not have the power. Amen? Amen? Amen. The demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. That is what people experienced when Christ crucified was preached. So often we come to church and we hear and we forget, we hear, we don't hear, right? Something must happen. There's a little story of three friends who decided to go deer hunting, all right? One was a lawyer, one a doctor, and one a preacher, of course, as these jokes go. So as they're walking along, a big buck appears on the landscape before them. And simultaneously, they all grabbed their rifles and shot, and the buck dropped. And they rushed over to see how big it was. Yes, this is a big catch. The deer is underground. The deer is dead, but there's one problem. The deer has one bullet hole in him. So these men began to debate, well, you know, who shot it? I was there, you were there. The angle of what incident equals the angle of refraction or something like that. For those of you who know physics, I don't know it. I just hear it and repeat it. So the game's warden came along and he asked, what's happening? And they introduced themselves, Dr. So-and-so, Reverend So-and-so, the Reverend Dr. So-and-so, and his attorney, whoever. And they introduced themselves and they said, well, this is a problem. We don't know who shot the buck. The warden said, oh, I could take care of this. He went and he looked at the thing. Within about 3-4 seconds, he said, the preacher shot the deer. How do you know so quickly, they ask. Very simple. It's like on Sunday morning. The bullet went through one ear and out the other. Friends, it must be more than that. Amen? Amen? Worship has to be more than coming and having some ritual and social organization. Every Sunday, we must sense God's presence here in such a way that we all may say, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel it. I sense it. I know it. I am blessed. Amen? Something said here, something done here each Sunday should take a hold of our hearts. And throughout the week, it should inspire us, inform us, comfort us, correct us, the demonstration of the Spirit's presence. Some of you have come here today to meet me. Thanks so very much for coming. I want you to know that today you may also meet the Lord. Some of you have come here today to hear what I have to say. There is good news. You may hear what God has to say to you. So what burdens do you have? What guilt do you carry? You may be forgiven. You may be set free. Your burdens may be lifted. Your joy may be restored. There is a power in the gospel demonstrated to make us whole and make us well. Paul is saying, I came. The essence of my preaching is Christ Jesus crucified. The experience of that is the demonstration of the Spirit's power. So I trust that worship for us, other things we do here, would be all done in such a way that the Holy Spirit would manifest His power in our lives. But you may say, preacher, what does that do for giving people jobs? Or what does that do for feeding the hungry? It does a whole lot. Because we, like Jesus, we go out not just to preach it and teach it, but we go out to heal the sick. We go out to feed the hungry. We go out to comfort those that are mourning. We go out to serve those in need. So when we as believers offer a cup of cold water to someone, we would say, I offer you this in the name of the one who is the water of life. That's how we do it. When we give a loaf of bread to a hungry person, we say, I give you this bread in the name of the one who is the bread of life. That is the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And thirdly and finally, we ask ourselves about the end of Paul's preaching. What was the outcome he desired? What was the goal? It's right here in the text, verse 5. I do it so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Our faith is something that needs to rest somewhere. And Paul is saying, it's either built, resting, founded on the wisdom of men or on the power of God. And so for me, and I know for many of you, it's important that our faith rest on this one we call Christ Jesus, the solid rock on whom we stand. Paul would preach so that people would have the assurance that what they believe is not resting on some idea of man, but on the power of God. Twice during the month of July, I had the opportunity to attend a certain church. I would not name it. Some of you may know it. The church is possibly becoming a mega church if it is not already that. And I have a way of saying that for the two services this church has, its parking lot for each service looks like Walmart's parking lot on Black Friday. There's so many cars. But when you sit in that church and you look at what we will call the chancel, there is no altar there. There is no cross there. There is no Bible there. There's a cross, but it's often a side wall, however lighted. And as I sit in worship there, I told myself, here is the post-Christian culture on display. But things are different here, I sense. You have a cross and you have an altar, right? And they speak of the one sacrifice offered for sin. So I take it that you believe in the sacrifice of Christ offered for sin. Am I right? Very good. I observe that you have Bibles in the pews. So I take it to mean that you believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Now, in my notes, the word inspired is bold, italicized, underlined. That the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, is God-breathed, breathed out by God inspired, not just something written by man. If so, why have it? Am I right? It's God's word, inspired, amen? I look around and we have the candles lit. What they speak of? They speak of our faith that God is present in our midst as we gather like this, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is in their midst. So as we sit here, we are saying, the Lord is here. This is not our house, this is God's house. This is not our time, this is God's time. This is not our show, this is God's show. So we come here with reverence, respect, to honor and worship this God. These things are the symbols of our faith. And they remind us that our faith is not in the preacher, or the sacraments, or the denomination, or the religion. Our faith is in our God, Christ Jesus, and him crucified. A man once walked down the street wearing a t-shirt, and on the front of it he had the words, "I am a fool for Christ." Would you wear something like that? And people looked at him and sneered, "A fool for Christ, you're a fool indeed, stupid guy." Yes, he got the dirty looks. "I'm a fool for Christ." But as he passed them and they saw the back of the t-shirt, they read the words, "Whose fool are you?" You see, we all would serve someone. Paul is saying, for me, it is Christ Jesus crucified. When Pascal said the last thing we know is what to put first, he was not speaking about the believing church, because for us, Christ is first. We seek him first. We seek first the kingdom of God. So when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the essence of my preaching. I do it so that you will experience the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. I do it so that in the end, your faith would not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. So Jesus Christ and him crucified is all the gospel we need, friends. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. Amen. We sing the song, number 4.